Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, April the 10th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, I wrote a post today over at the American Thinker about the Beatles. You may not know that it was on this day in 1970 that the official breakup of the Beatles began, and that's what my post is all about. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how it happened and how I reacted to it over the years. But before we do, before we get to my post about the Beatles, let's just touch a little bit on what's happening in France. They had an election today in France. Now, this is the first round. There's like 15 parties. I've never really quite understood, but that's the way they do it. There's like 15 parties, and I guess, you know, every party has a little candidate, and I assume most of them know that they're never going to win anything, but they run anyway. So as of now, late evening here in Dallas, Texas, the way that the votes are stacking up is that President Macron, the incumbent, he's leading with about 27% of the vote. The main challenger, Marie Le Pen, she has about 23% of the vote. Now, there is a third party, and I don't quite know his name, but he's at 22%. Now, more than likely, he's not going to take Marie Le Pen out of second place. But that could be very interesting. It could get very close there as they count the votes. The last time I checked, something like 70% of the votes had been counted. So the candidates have a pretty good margin. But, you know, even at 70%, a difference of 23 and 22% could easily change. So my guess is that Macron will come in first place and Le Pen will come in second place. That's a pretty good guess, I think, on my part. Not a very sophisticated guess. I think that's what most of the experts are saying. And then they're going to have a runoff. And if I had to pick a winner today, I think Macron will be reelected. Maybe not by the numbers he was reelected the last time, but he will be reelected against Marie Le Pen. That's what I'm thinking at this point. The polling data seems to suggest that it'll be a 53-46 type victory or 52-48 type victory for Macron. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like at this point. And let's see how it pans out. But I got to tell you, France is a very difficult country to govern. Very difficult country to govern, today's France. First of all, it's overregulated, overtaxed. It has serious immigration problems. Some of the labor laws are very difficult for business. The labor laws have created a very high rate of youth unemployment. So if you're 22, 23 years old in France, like one out of four is unemployed because they're just, the business community doesn't have a lot of incentives to create jobs because these labor laws are so ridiculous. So whoever wins is going to have a very difficult time because, again, France is a very difficult country to govern. And then when you put on top of that, the immigration problems that they are having, and, you know, the sense among many French people that they're losing their identity, they're losing their culture, they're losing their language. It's a very difficult problem. It's a very difficult problem. And in some ways, maybe a ghost of Christmas future type of signal for us here in the United States and how to control immigration. I think that's something that can be a lesson for us. But I don't know who's going to win the second round. I'm guessing it'll be Macron. But whoever wins, France is a country that is becoming very difficult to manage. And that's about all I can tell you about it. We're just going to have to wait now a couple of weeks, I guess, for the next round. But again, as of right now, as of the last time I checked here, with about 70% of the vote, Macron is at 27%. Le Pen is at 23%, and there is a third candidate at 22%. whether those two, Le Pen and the third candidate, whether those two can switch places, I don't know. My guess is no, but you never know in a close election, anything can happen. Plus, I don't know where those remaining votes are from, whether they're from Paris or whether they're from some of the outlying areas. I don't know. So we will have to wait. But again, as I said before, France is a very difficult country to manage. And whoever wins is going to have a very difficult time in their hands. Let's talk a little bit about the Beatles. I have a post over at the American Thinker talking about the Beatles. It was April 10th, 1970. Man, that makes me feel old. April 10th, 1970, that Paul McCartney said in an interview that he was quitting the Beatles. It wasn't, it was kind of a crazy interview. I don't think he called the interview. He was just talking to a reporter, and he said, I'm quitting the Beatles. And that was pretty much the beginning of the end. Eventually, everybody said, okay, we're quitting the Beatles. And in a month or so, the Beatles were no more. Now, at the time that the Beatles broke up, their album, Let It Be, was hitting the American charts. And they actually had the number one song in the country at that moment called Let It Be. It was the number one song. They would go on to have another number one song that summer called The Long and Winding Road. And that was the end of the Beatles. But for a lot of fans like me, you know, when we heard the story, I thought they would get back together. I really did. And that's what my post at American Thinker is actually entitled. I thought they would get back together. I really did. I spent much of the 1970s listening to the radio and following the music, hoping that the Beatles would get back together. Initially, I said, oh, this is just going to be a little breakup, you know, a little separation as often happens, but they'll get back together because it's just, they're much better when they play together. And that didn't materialize. For a while there, I thought that George and Ringo, who had really very limited careers as solo artists, I thought eventually they would try to, you know, reconcile John and Paul and say, hey, come on, guys, let's get back together. That didn't happen. And by the mid-1970s, Paul McCartney was the one, you know, with all the records, the number one songs. John Lennon pretty much disappeared from public view. I mean, from 1975 until 1980, he was basically hiding in L.A., did not do anything in public, didn't do any recordings. He eventually did come back, of course, and recorded an album. But he was killed shortly after the release of that album at the end of 1980. But I spent all of the 1970s believing that they would get back together. At times I said, you know, they're going to offer them so much money that they'll have to get back together. Well, that didn't happen either. Or maybe it did, but we never heard about it. So I just thought that, you know, during the 1970s, I really couldn't understand how four guys, and especially three of the four, John, Paul, and George, who had been together since like 1959, who had gone through so much adversity together, who had, you know, worked so hard to create the Beatles. It was hard for me to believe that three guys would let it go like that. But I think, you know, as the article, I have an article that I post in my post where one of the guys who wrote about the Beatles basically said it got to a point where they all knew that this thing was, the train was off the tracks, but they just didn't know how to stop it. And I think that's what eventually happened. But I spent the 70s, I spent all of the 1970s thinking that they would get back together, because I always thought that the four of them were so much better as the Beatles than they were as individual artists. And I think the 70s proved me right. I mean, Paul did have a lot of success as a solo artist, but the four never achieved the success that they had as the Beatles. And John certainly never achieved it as a solo artist. And Paul, in my opinion, even though he had a ton of hits, was never that good on his own. He was always a lot better with the Beatles. But then, of course, everything ended December 1980 when John was assassinated. And, of course, at that point, the dream and the hope of the Beatles getting back together was gone. At that point, of course, they would never get back together. But, you know, like a lot of you, I collected the LPs, the 45s, the 8-track tapes, the reel-to-reel tapes, the 45s, the cassettes, and now here more recently, the digital recordings. And I guess if there is a consolation in all of this, if there is some consolation, is the fact that we will always remember them as young men, because all those album covers that we have, they're so young. And all those album covers, and maybe we will always remember that them that way, as the four young guys from Liverpool who set the world on fire back in the late 60s. But I tell you, I really thought they were going to get back together, but of course it didn't happen. And you know, life is like that sometimes. Some things are just never meant to be. And this one, I guess, is one of those. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I guess you can, maybe after you watch me, you can go on and listen to your favorite Beatles song. That would be a good way of following my little commentary today. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Enjoy your day, and we'll get back into politics in the next video. Bye-bye, everybody.